Take your Bibles, please.
Book of Colossians. We'll be reading from chapter 1, the book of Colossians. I want to continue just... I want to say growth. Not so much the numbers. I want to see growth in our lives. Spiritual growth. A few weeks back when I preached there out of 1 Corinthians. Just Paul talking about growth and just how he would take pleasures in infirmities. That the glory of God, that he could receive more of God through those infirmities and persecutions and things that we go through and those things that we receive a lot of times in our lives. And then last week I shared about Paul's writing to the church of the Thessalonica where they were he was thankful for their faith and what they were doing. And he was thankful that their faith was growing exceedingly, that they had charity one for another, and that they was also able to just have patience and faith and persecution and tribulation. And that they was able to endure the things that was going on in their time and the persecution that they was receiving. And he was thankful for that. And then this morning I want to share just some more along those lines where Paul writes to the church and in his letter to of Colossians. We must have growth. If we do not have it, we will go backwards. You're not going to stay just where you are. You're either going to go forward or you're going to go backwards. So we got to have growth. I want growth. I don't want to go backwards in any way. There's nothing back there for me to go to. Nothing back there I desire. I want to go more forward. And I want to have more of God's. Praise God. And I'm telling you, when you have a desire for God, God's going to take you in the right direction. I know our president, I believe his theme during campaigning time was forwards. Well, his forward wasn't the right direction. I don't want to go in that direction. I want to go in the right direction. Amen. And God will lead us in the right direction. If we will trust Him and obey Him, we'll go in the right direction. He's not going to lead us down the wrong roads. Praise God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye had to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the words of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruits, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. You'll notice verse 9, 10, and 11. That's where I want to concentrate the message on this morning. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You say amen to God's word. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I desire your prayers this morning. I really want God to help us this morning. I hope our prayer is that we receive from God's Word. Amen. Praise God. A lot of times Satan tries to fight us, church. right here in this very hour, sharing God's Word. I don't want him to do that. Amen. We can overcome that this morning. Paul's writings to them this morning, he again gives thanks to God and the Father and Lord Jesus Christ for what this church is doing, for what they have been accomplished, and just for their faithfulness, their dedication. He gives them praise and he gives them thankfulness. I believe we can always find something good about each other, about the church. There's a lot we can be thankful for. There's a lot we can give thanks to God for. God has blessed this body abundantly with this many things. I'm not just talking about number or finances, but God has blessed us. He's given us much. We've got people who are faithful. We got people that love God here. We got people that want to see God work. We got people that want to go forward in Jesus Christ and have a hunger for Him. And that's something that is grateful. That's something we should be thankful for. We just not come here on Sundays and go through a routine, do our Sunday duty for the day, and then go back home. I'm here because I want God to work. I don't want to come just because it's Sunday. I didn't have to get up this morning and decide whether I was going to go to church or not. It was Sunday morning. It was automatically, I'm going to the house of God. And that's what we must have. That's the mindset we must have today, church. I want to see God move. Be thankful for what God's given to us. Paul was thankful, but again, he wanted to see more. He wanted more from the people. It's amazing today that Paul's writings to the church, he never prayed, and in his prayer for the churches, he never prayed that God would just give them an increase of finances. That God would bless them with material things. And that's the message of our TV evangelists, our mainstream evangelists today. It's always that they would have more of material things. That they would give, God would give back to them. If they give to this ministry, God would bless them. And that's their message. That wasn't Paul's message to them. His message to them is, I want you to have more of God's. I want you to increase in these things that you already have, but I want you to increase in them. I want you to have more of these. In verse 4, he says that we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Since we heard, let me back up verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. A lot of times we think, well, this person's got saved. This person seems to be doing good. And we stop praying for them. We stop. Well, Paul didn't do that. He says, since you have these things, he says, I'm praying for you even more. And I want you to have more. Amen. I want you to have more of God's. And he says, we give thanks to God, the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Apparently, this church had faith in Christ. Apparently, they loved God. They trusted God. This church also apparently had a fellowship one with another. He talks about here that how they had love to all the saints. They had love for each other. They had faith and they had love. But as he wrote to the church of Thessalonica, so I want to increase. I want you to have more. I need you to have more. You've got to have more. And that's what Paul is writing. I believe that even today, I believe we're on the right track. But God wants us to have more. God wants us to have more, church. And he prayed for them to have more. They were doing good. But don't think just because you're doing good that you can just take it easy. But to me, that's even more opportunity. That's even more responsibility on our part that we must seek God and we must go forward. Amen. He talks about their hope in verse 5. He says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard in the word of the truth of the gospel? This church had hope. They knew they was on their way to heaven. Yeah. They knew that Jesus Christ was going to come back one day. They had hope. Now this word hope is not hope as we think. A lot of times we hope in something. You know, some of us that, you know, that like snow. The weatherman may say, you know, there's a chance of snow on such day. Well, those who like snow, They're hoping. I hope it snows. I hope we have some snow. You know, that's that kind of hope. I mean, you know, we look at, we hope in something. We hope it's going to happen. It may or may not happen. But this is not the hope that Paul is talking about here. This kind of hope here was an expectation. We know it's going to happen. Now the weatherman can say, there's a chance of snow, and it might or might not happen. There's a chance. But I'm telling you, we don't have to have that kind of hope in God. We can expect. He says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. I'm expecting to go to heaven. I'm not hoping to make it. I'm not hoping and having a chance that I'm going to make heaven. I am expecting to go to heaven. If Jesus Christ comes in the clouds and the rapture takes place, I am expecting to go. I know I am going to go, in other words. I don't have a hope that I'm going to make it or that I'm going to go in the rapture. It's not a coin toss whether I'm going to make it or not. No, I'm expecting to go. When the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with the Lord. I'm expecting to be a part of that. If death should come before Jesus comes, then I am expecting to go to heaven. When I close my eyes here and this fleshly body lays it down, it's no more life in this body. I am going to be with Jesus Christ. I'm not hoping in that. I'm not drawing straws to see if it'll happen. I'm expecting for it to happen. I have an assurance that I'll be there. Now you can have that kind of hope. You can have that kind of expectation. And you better have that kind. I'm telling you, if you are just hoping you make it, the odds are against you. You're not going. You're not going to make it. I am planning on going to heaven. And I told someone earlier this week that we are going to heaven. We may have a rough road right now. Thought things may not go right. But I'm going to heaven. We are going to heaven. And if Jesus, if we die, well, I'm going to heaven too. Praise God. So I look at it either way. I'm a winner. Jesus comes, I'm going to heaven right now. If He comes right now, I'm going to heaven. If Jesus should tarry and I have to live here another 40 years, so be it. I'm still going to heaven. If this body dies right now, I'm still going to heaven. Praise God. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. Any way I turn, I am a winner. Praise God. Now that ought to be a little smile on your face this morning. We're looking a little sad this morning. Amen. We don't have nothing to be sad about. Praise God. We are on our way to heaven. Praise God. Our country don't look good. A lot of things don't look good. But I'm going to heaven. And the government can't take that away from me. Nothing can take that away from me. Amen. It don't matter what happens. They can come and they can kill the body. I'm going to heaven. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, Satan can't have nothing on us. Amen. No matter what, he has nothing on us. Let him put us to death. We're going to heaven. Amen. And that this church had this hope. It says this hope is, which is laid up for you in heaven. Where have you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel? Why do I have this hope? Why do I know this to be true? Because God's Word tells me. It's God's Word. It tells me these things. And I believe them. This is the truth of the gospel. I'm going to live according to God's Word. And I am going to make heaven. He also says that which is to come unto you as it is in all the worlds. And it bringeth forth fruit. Paul is talking about this. This church, when they heard the gospel message, they received it. He says that which is come unto you as it is on the world, all the world, bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you. Since the day you heard of it, you knew the grace of God in truth. Paul preached to them, the word of God came to them. He talked about Ephesus for bringing them the word of God. When it came to them, they received it. And this message that was preached to them, it's good for us today. It's the same message. We ought to receive it and be thankful. He talks about this which has come unto you, talking about the Word of God, as it has in all the worlds. The Word of God has come. It's going forth across this land. The Word of God is. We see it. And nature itself proclaims it. The message is being preached. We have missionaries. We have men and women who are going across this world. The Word of God is going forth. And men are going to receive it one way or the other. In the sense that they will receive it and take, no, I don't want this. I don't accept it. I'm pushing it off. Or they will receive it and live by it. One way or another, God's Word is going to bring fruit. When the Word of God goes forth, He tells us that. He says, when it's come to you as it has in all the world, it bringeth forth fruits. Now, not everybody has received it. That's fruit. When a man denies and does not want God's Word, and he wants to live according to himself and his selfish ways, and he denies God's Word, that's fruit. That's a form of result. Fruit is a result of something. When the Word of God goes forth and you reject it, you're going to receive that fruit. When you receive it, you'll receive that fruit. It's a result of something. So he talks about the Word of God has gone forth to the whole world and it brings forth fruit. Some kind of fruit is going to be produced. And it says, as it does also in you. They receive the Word of God. It produced fruit, a good fruit. Now when you don't receive it, it's going to produce some bad fruits. It's going to be fruit. Brother Al talked about that in Sunday school class. When they don't want the Word of God, they replace it with something else, and it's going to bring back some bad results. Some bad fruit's going to come from it. And that's why we have killing in our schools. That's why we have murder and all the kinds of things and divorce and all this stuff. It's a fruit. It's a result of rejecting God's Word. So when the Word goes forth, it's going to bring some kind of fruits. It did with Noah when he built the ark, a preacher of righteousness. He proclaimed that that ark was a witness to them. That a flood was coming. It was a sign. And they rejected it. And the fruit of that was, as they was destroyed in the floods. Noah got a word from God. God told him, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. And he told them how to build the ark. Told them exactly how to build it. What to paint it with and everything. And Noah fulfilled that to a T. He obeyed God. And when the floods came, him and his household was saved. That's a result of obedience. That was a fruit. His home was saved and his family. So that's... you're going to have some kind of fruit. It's either going to be good or bad fruits. Praise God. I'm thankful that we receive God's Word. Amen. I want to see good fruit. Some good fruit. It says, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Ephesus, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. This brother, he has come, he has shared the Word of God with them. He brings back to Paul a good report. These people love God. These people have received the truth. They have received it. And he talks about it, also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now in verse 9, 10, and 11, let's get down to what I want to share. He talks about this. He says in verse 9, he says, for this cause. What's the cause? All those verses we just read before you. For this cause, that they had faith, that they have love to each other, love to all the saints. They had hope laid up for them in heaven. And he talks about all these things. They had a love in the Spirit. He talked about in verse 8. Then he talks about them. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. When a man's on fire, you can't quit praying. When a church is doing good, you can't stop. You've got to keep going. This church was doing good. And Paul says, since I've heard about these things, I've been praying for you. I've ceased to pray for you. That's the problem why we're up and down so much. We're doing good and we stop praying. We stop seeking God. And then we go back down. And then we have to have a revival. And we have to get back up. And we do good for a little while. And then we quit praying. I'm on cloud nine. Everything's good. You go right back down. Just like you let air out of a balloon. And just you go back down. We don't need to be going up and down. Amen. You're up. Keep on seeking God. In other words, keep climbing the mountain. Keep going up. Praise God. I'm telling you, when you are on fire for God, that's time Satan's really going to hound you. That's when Satan's really going to try to discourage you. And you better keep praying. You better keep seeking God. You filled with the Holy Ghost. You better keep going forward. You better keep seeking God or you'll still go down. Amen. Praise God. Glory to His name. Praise God. Amen. Can we stop and have a word of prayer? I want us to receive God's word this morning. And for some reason, I am just as dizzy as can be for some reason. I don't know what's happened. I need a prayer for a minute. We'll just take time. God, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us today, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that You would touch us, Jesus. God, touch us and help us, God. God, I pray, Father, that You just give us a touch, Lord. God, I need a touch in my body, Lord. I don't know what's wrong, but I just pray, God, that You'd help us today. I ask You, God, help us to receive Your Word, God. Touch us, Lord, I pray, Father. I need You, God. I need Your touch, Lord. God, just put it in Your hands, Lord. Jesus, I pray, God, just help us, Lord. God, touch us, Lord. God, I ask You, Lord, God, I pray, Father, I need You, Lord. God, I pray, Father, that You help us, Lord. Just touch our bodies, God. Touch us to receive, God. I need You, Lord, this morning, God. My body's not cooperating, Lord. And I just ask, God, that You would touch it, Lord. Just help us, God, today. God, help us, Jesus, I pray, God. Oh, God, touch us, Lord Jesus. Need You, God. I need You, God. I need You, God. I need You, Lord. I need Your touch, God, today, Lord. Help us, oh, God. Help us, oh, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God, help us to receive of Your Word, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. I thank You, God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. God's going to help us, church. Amen. Praise God. Let's just keep our minds on God. I believe God speaks to us through His Word. Amen. Talks about there in verse 9, for this cause, because of what they have already accomplished and what they was already doing. Paul talks about, I am not going to cease to pray for you. You're on the right track. I'm not quit praying for you. He's been praying for this church that God would do a work. They're on the right track. And he says, I'm not going to stop praying for you. I'm going to continue to pray for you. And that he goes on and says that for you to grow. He talks about that desire might be filled, that you're to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. And all wisdom and spiritual knowledge. They already had knowledge, but now he's going to talk about, he talks about now, that they be filled with knowledge. In other words, it would increase, that you would have more knowledge of God, and that you would know His will for you and His life. We've got to know what God wants for us in our lives. We've got to know His will. It's not so much here that Paul is talking about the will as in, do I go here or do I do that. This here is talking about what God requires of us. What God requires of us. God's will for us is going to cause us or is going to make us require us to do something. God wants us to live holy. That's God's will for us. That we live holy. That we do right. And we must, church, as a body, know what God requires of us in our lives. Obviously, this church knew some of these things, but he asked them that his prayer was them that they would have more of this knowledge. We need to know what God requires of us. Go with us to 1 Corinthians, if you would. Chapter 2, verse 11. Notice here in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He says, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? What man knoweth the things of a man? It's the spirit of that man. You know, as a man, you know what is natural for you, what is unnatural for you. You know how you should act as a man. You're a man. You have that built-in knowledge. Now, this stuff they talk about, men, homosexuals, and things like that, talking about being born that way. No. No, they didn't have some kind of something breakdown in their bodies or their minds. No, they were not born that way. They gave themselves to that. But here, we know what we are to do. Women know how that they should be as women. There's things in a man and there's things in a woman that are just natural to them. They know these things. And he talks about here, but what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. There's a lot of things that I may not quite understand about a woman. And vice versa. You same thing about men. Because I'm not a woman. I don't have the spirit of a woman. I don't buy things. I don't have the character and makeup as that. So there's things we learn about each other. We weren't naturally just given to it. But as a man, there's things I should know about a man. Because I have the spirit of a man. And he talks about this in this passage here. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. There's things about us, about God, you're just not going to know on your own ability. You're not going to understand it. You're not going to comprehend it. Because you don't have the spirit of God. But when you receive the Spirit of God, there's things of God that you are going to know. There's things, the knowledge of God you're going to receive. You're not going to receive all of it. You're not going to comprehend all of it at one time. But if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not going to know of God. That's why when you try to explain to people who are sinners, they just do not comprehend it at all. They do not understand it one bit. It's like trying to talk to a brick wall. They don't get it. Why? Because they don't have the Spirit of God. But when a man has the Spirit of God living in him, and you have the Spirit of God, you have some things there that you can communicate to each other. Why? Because he has the Spirit of God. He's going to understand some of this. I have the Spirit of God. We're going to be on the same page, in other words. And Paul tells them this, it's what you need to know now, back in Colossians, is you have the Spirit of God, you know some things, but now it needs to increase. The knowledge of His will needs to increase. You need to have more knowledge of God, more understanding of Him. You've got to, church, spend time talking to God. Know His will. What is God's will for you in your life? Not so much do I buy this home or have this job. That's not exactly what he's talking about here. He's talking about more the requirements of God. Now, God can't direct you in these other things. But this very passage here, he's talking about requirements. What does God require of you? You've got to know these things. And to know them, you've got to spend time in His words. You've got to spend time in prayer. God, speak to me. A lot of times, our times of prayer is not letting God speak to us. It's we're asking God for things. And a lot of times, we have the wrong mindset of prayer. It is the time we ask God, but it's time we need to ask God to help us, direct us. God, what is your will? What do you require of me? What do you require of me, Lord? Lord, what is your will? Not my will. A lot of times, we have it backwards. We pray, God, my will be done. No, 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 no. That's wrong. It's not what we want. We say, Lord, this is too hard. It's too difficult. Do I have to do these things? Don't question God. Do what He tells us. Lord, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. What you want me to do, I will do it, God. And He talks about this. We need to have the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What's he talking about here? Spiritual or wisdom and spiritual understanding. He's dealing with here in this word wisdom. He is talking about now I'm going to have more of the knowledge of God's will. I'm going to have more of what God requires of me. Now he talks about in wisdom. This word wisdom is now, Lord, help me to apply this. Help me to use wisdom and applying what you require of me. And we're talking about not just outward appearances and things like that. We're talking about attitudes and just mindsets and things, just the running of our lives and what God requires. We need to know what these things are, and then we need to have wisdom and using them. God, give me this wisdom that I can apply these things to my life. You got to have the Spirit of God to help you in these things.
Amen.
Praise God. And you know, these things, you know, God requires a lot of things out of us. We need to know how to do them. We've got to have wisdom on how to apply it. You may know how to treat your brother, but you've got to have wisdom on how to do it. There's things you may want to say. There's things you may want to do that God requires. But you better have wisdom on how to share those things. And we got to have this wisdom that he talks about here. This wisdom. Then he talks about, I have knowledge. And then have wisdom on how to apply it. And then we need spiritual understanding. What is the spiritual application of this? Why? We need the knowledge of God's requirements. We need the wisdom on how to use them. And then what's this spiritual understanding about this? Why does God want us to be separate from the world? Not because he's mean. You got the wrong application. You got the wrong understanding of it. It's because God doesn't want you to be participating of things that's going to bring danger to you spiritually. Why does God want you to do this? Why does God require this? Why does God require this? God just doesn't make up things and put them in this book because he had to fill up a book. No, he has requirements. We need to know how to use them. And what's the spiritual application? What's the spiritual reason for it? Why does God tell us to love our wives? Why does God tell the wives to be obedient and to the husband? Why does God tell these things? There's reasons for it, church. Why does God tell you to come on Sundays and worship Him, to rest on the Lord's Day? There is reasons. These are requirements that God gives to us. Know how to apply them. You got to know how to love your wife. You got to know how to be obedient to your husband. You got to know how to do these things. You need wisdom. And then you need to know the spiritual application. And God's angry at you, and I've got to be a wife, and I've got to submit to my husband because I'm not as good as the husband. No. You've got the wrong application. You need to know the spiritual understanding of these things. God gives us these requirements. Know why. Know how to use them, and know why. Then he talks about that we may walk worthy of the Lord's unto all pleasing. And we might walk worthy. We talk a lot about this in other passages of scriptures that we are to walk worthy of the vocation which we are called. Other scriptures talk about this. And he talks about that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That our lifestyle, that we our walk, which is our lifestyles that we have, that our life that we live, that we may walk worthy of that. That we may not do things as I will please God, but we're going to walk worthy of the Lord, and it's going to be unto all pleasing. Yeah. Notice Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, you're familiar with the scripture with Enoch. And by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Because God translated him before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. In other words, he walked worthy of the vocation. He walked worthy of what God had given to him. And he pleased God by doing this. Everything he did was pleasing to God. Go with me. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, notice verse 21. And Enoch lived 60 and 5 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. Something took place after this son was born. We don't know exactly. But after this took place, he began to walk with God. The Bible says he walked with God after he was born. 300 years he got the sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch, which were 365 years, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Here's a time. Probably the Enoch was trying to share with the people. The Bible talks about in Judges that Enoch was a prophet. He prophesied to them. He was a man that shared God's word. He probably talked about life after death. And these people probably didn't comprehend it one bit. But when they saw Enoch snatched up, they started thinking differently. Oh, there must be some other place this man's going. Obviously, there is another life somewhere else after this. And here, Enoch walked with God. He had that testimony that he pleased God. He was fruitful in every good work. Everything he did, everything we do, we must walk worthy of the Lord. It must be unto all pleasing. And we must be fruitful in every good work. Every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Then he prays. His prayer is, strengthen with all might. Strengthen. He gives a lot there in his prayer. That they would have knowledge of his will. That they would have wisdom. That they have spiritual understanding. That they would walk worthy of the Lord's. That in everything they do would be pleasing. That they would bring fruits to every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Then he talks about strengthened. His prayer is, God, I gave the whole things of here that I'm praying for them to have. You're going to have to strengthen these people. You're going to have to strengthen them. If they're going to make it, God, you're going to have to strengthen them with all your might, with all your power. They're going to have the strength. God requires a lot of us, church. And if you don't pray for Him to strengthen you, you're not going to do it. You're not going to be able to make it. So our prayer is that He'd be strengthened. That this people, this church would be strengthened with all might according to its glorious power. Now there's three things I want to concentrate more here on in this passage. He gives them here three things that he talks about. Patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. These are things that we have to increase in. He talks about all these things that they need to be strengthened and they need to have patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. Now this patient, I shared a little bit about last week. Same words. Deals with patience here. It's not so much just the patience to go through something. It's not so much just patience to be able to endure. But it's the same word that we talked about that Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica. It's to be able, when you are going through a trial, when you're going through a persecution, it's to have the endurance to go through it and to bring something good out of it. To bring something good out of it. You're going to have valleys. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have trials. God just does not expect you to go through them. But God expects you in this time that you go through them for something good to happen through this trial, through this valley. It may be a sickness. It just may be a problem in life. It may last for a day. It may last for months. It may last for a year. You don't know how long you're going to go through this. But while you're going through this, let God work in your life. Let God mold you. Let God do a work and then shape you into His image. That something good will come out of it. What's the benefit if you're just going to go through it? And nothing accomplished out of it. What he's wanting is something good to take place. Endure this. A lot of times, church, you know, you wonder, why am I facing this problem? Because God wants to do a work in you. He's not doing it just to be mean. You're His child. You can't give your kids junk food all the time. It'll kill them. That's not being mean. You want them to grow up to be healthy. God wants us to grow up spiritually and to be healthy spiritually. And a lot of times it takes those trials. It takes those things, and He's telling us, be patient through them. Endure it. Bring something good out of it. God will help you. God will do a work in your life. But you're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to endure it. It's not going away. Your prayer don't need to be, God, take this away from me. That is the wrong mindset. That's the wrong attitude. A lot of times we go through a valley and say, God, take me out of this. No. God, help me to go through it and something good come from it. That must be your prayer. Talks about that we be strengthened with all might according to His glory power unto all patience and long suffering. Long suffering. Not short suffering. Long suffering. Long. How long? However long it takes. Here, this word long suffering. It simply just means to put up with each other. Just to put up with each other. We're going to have to be long suffering. There's times that we may say something. There's times that you may be taken wrong. There's times you may think your brother or sister just looked at you in the wrong way. You're going to have to be long suffering. You're going to have to be long suffering. These are things Paul's preaching to a church that had faith. They had things going right. They loved God. They loved. Did I not read to you that they had love to all the saints? And now he's telling them, you need to be long suffering with each other. I say we got love for the saints. You love your brother and sister, don't you? Amen. You're going to have to be long suffering. You're going to have to be long suffering. There's times that even in the church room, people may say something. It may hurt. Sometimes things got to be dealt with. Sometimes you may be stabbed in the back as you feel. There may be times, sometimes people are just flat out mean. And you're going to have to be long suffering with them. You're going to have to tolerate it. You're going to have to put up with it. You need to make things right where things need to be right. But you've got to have that long suffering. I'm telling you, Christ was long suffering with you. Amen? How many times did we reject God? How many times we said to God the wrong things? How many times we did the wrong thing? Many times. But God was long suffering for us. Amen? And we must do the same thing, church. We're going to have to be long suffering with each other. It's not going to come easy. It's not going to just come to us on a silver platter. You're going to have to work on it. And you're going to have the Spirit of God to help you. Amen. Praise God. We ain't getting happy this morning. Amen. I killed you. All right. Spirit of God, resurrect us. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're going on the right track. God wants more. God wants more. You think you got it all together? You done messed up already? You got more problems than you thought? I'm telling you, you need to know the knowledge of God's will. You need to know what He requires of you. You better be patient. You better have that endurance, and you better come out with a smile on your face. But that's what the next thing He told them to do, to have, or the next thing He was praying for them, is for them to have patience and long suffering and do it joyfully. You got to be kidding me, Lord. I got to do all these things and I got to be happy about it. You mean I got to go through a trial and I got to do it joyfully? I'm telling you, it'll be a whole lot easier if you do it joyfully. I'm telling you. But if you go around and it looks like you have 8 briars, I'm not talking about ice cream either. I'm talking about those things, those pointy things and stuff that hurt going down, you know. What was Winnie the Pooh? He ate those things, briars all the time. You know, thistles, I guess what it was, thistles. You know, I understand that. But I'm telling you, if you go around and look like you ate thistles all the time, you're on the wrong track. God wants you to do it joyfully. I tell them around my family all the time, put a smile on your face. When they was growing up, they don't like something, put a smile on your face. That ain't easy. Well, no, it ain't easy. Sometimes it is hard. But I'm telling you, a lot of times we have the woe is me attitude. God has not done anything wrong to you. Every problem, think about this a second. Just about every problem we have is something because we lacked spiritually. We brought it on ourselves. Say we have financial problems. Well, you might have brought it on yourself, yes. You might have made some wrong decisions. But I'm finding God's Word, He tells us He'll supply all our needs. So we fret and stuff because we have financial problems. That's a lack on your part spiritually. God will take care of you. You say, well, my spouse is not doing good. My children are not right. It's a lack of spirituality. It's very simple. Husbands, if you love your wives as Christ loved the church, and if wives would submit to their husbands, what's the problem? But when you refuse to do those things, you bring on problems. Well, my child won't obey me. Well, did you train them?
No.
That's according to God's Word? No, I failed there. There's your problem. It was a spiritual issue. So our problems a lot of times is because of our lack of spirituality. And a lot of times we fret and we don't have joy. It's because we don't have confidence in God. God will take care of us. Put a smile on our face. Be willing to let God work in our lives. And do it with a smile. You got to smile. Praise God. Somebody's got to smile in this house this morning. Glory to God. I thank you for enduring me. Do it with a smile though. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Good. I'm glad you're thinking. Amen. I don't want to embarrass my son, but I told him to put a smile on his face, something he had to do. He didn't agree with having to do it, so I got me out a permanent marker, and I painted a smile on his face. It was kind of funny, yes. But life is what you make out of it. Life is what you make out of it. If you will trust God, know what His will is, know what He requires of you, be obedient to that. Be obedient. Ask God, God, I know what You require of me. Help me to do it. Give me the wisdom on how to do it. I know I'm supposed to love my neighbor, but God, You're going to have to help me to do it. I need wisdom. How do I do this, God? That's it. I'm telling you. Brother Al, you said it just right. God's, they're ungodly over there, but You're going to have to help me to love them and do good to them. Because this old flesh don't want to do that. That old flesh don't want to do that. God, how am I going to do these things? Give me wisdom. And when you look at a human standpoint or an earthly way, you're not going to understand it. Why? Why, God, why do I have to do this? God, give me the spiritual understanding on why I need to do these things. Many times we go through things and do things in our life and God tells us to do, and we don't understand why until later on. We see it. God, this is why You told me to go here. This is why You told me to do this. This is why. Now I understand it. At first, I didn't think it was right, God, but I just was obedient to You. And You showed me later. Praise God. Give me that spiritual understanding, God. One writer talked about, he says, if joy is not rooted in the soul of suffering, in the soil of suffering, it is shallow. If joy is not rooted in the soil of suffering, Your roots are shallow. You are shallow. That's me. I'm telling you, church, God wants us to be strong. In these times of troubles, be joyful. Be joyful. You don't have to be happy about that you're facing these things, but you can be happy in them. You can be happy in them. Paul makes this as his prayer. And I believe just to wrap up his entire prayer here is, it's putting in different words, a little different words. He says, make me victorious over every circumstance. God, give me the knowledge of His will. Give me knowledge of Your will. Give me the wisdom to do it. Give me the spiritual understanding. Lord, make me victorious over every circumstance. Make me patient with every person. It's what Paul, and I'm putting these kind of my own words. Make me patient with every person. And give me the joy which no circumstance and or man will ever take from me. That's Paul's prayer for this church. And I believe that could be applied to us today. God, give me that wisdom. Give me that life that I can be victorious over every circumstance. Everything that comes to You. God, make me patient with every person. Give me the joy I need to face every circumstance. And the great thing about it is, in verse 11, He's going to strengthen you to do these things. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you. Paul then, his prayer was not just for a bunch of requirements, but in that requirements, he said, God, strengthen them. Help them to do these things. And today, God will help you. He will strengthen you to do these things if you so desire of it. But if you think you can make it without God, you're not going to do it. If you think you've got it all under control, you will not make it. You will come up against a roadblock. God, make me patient. Praise God. You stand this morning. Praise God. I want growth. And I believe we're going to spend just a moment here in prayer. And I want us to our prayer to be, just as Paul prayed for this church, make me victorious over every circumstance. Every circumstance. Let me be victorious in it. A circumstance is to build you, not to tear you down. God, help us to be victory in it. Make me patient with every person. There's something different about each one of us. And you're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to be patient with us. You have to be patient with each other. Your husbands, you've got to be patient with your wife. Wife, you've got to be patient with your husband. You've got to be patient with each other. You've got to be patient with that person sitting next to you, behind you, all around you in this body. You've got to be patient with them. I can't. I've tried and I tried. That's the problem. You tried. Ask God to strengthen you, to help you to do it. And God, help me to be joyful in every circumstance. Everything I face, God, help me to do it with joy. Is that humanly impossible? Yes, it is. And Paul said, God, strengthen them to do this. Strengthen them to do this. God can strengthen you to do it. I don't know what we'll face tomorrow, but I just ask God to help us. He'll strengthen us. Amen. We come and spend a little time in prayer with me this morning and ask God to help us to be strengthened in these areas. Praise God.